you don't consider yourself as the doer in any given situation. The level of pana and self-annihilation goes to such a level where you don't even consider your existence. You consider yourself as a non-entity, total. Someone asked a firefly, Jugunu they call it, that I'm so fond of you, and the moment the day comes and you're totally lost, I don't see you. So, had you only come, had you only appeared in the day, then I would have seen you, I would have enjoyed your company, I would have spent long hours with you and admired yourself. And now, irony of it is this, that you come the day and you're totally lost. So the firefly replies that whether it is at night or during the day, I'm in the fields, be it during the day or be it during the night, but I'm in the fields. I'm not lost, I'm not gone anywhere. Come night, come day, I'm not gone anywhere. But when the sun rises and it's in full bloom, then I lose myself for that moment. The existence of the sun has totally lost, I'm totally lost in the existence of the sun. I don't see my existence, I don't see myself when the sun is in full bloom. So this is that condition of fana, where one loses sight of himself. Although he knows that there is a type of existence, he knows that he is a thing that is alive, but he has lost his existence, he has lost himself so much in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that as though he is not even worthwhile mentioning, he's not even worth being mentioned, he's totally lost himself. So this maqam, this position is called fana. So someone asked Mawlana Thanvi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi that in other silsilas, this position of fana, it comes during the end, during the last. But here we see that you are talking about this at the first step, on the first step in this path you are talking about it. So Mawlana's reply was, is humare yahan bas silsila hi aisa kuch hai. By us, this is the method, this is the way. But at the first step, and you come on to fana, at the first step. They talk about it at the end. Here we talk about it from the very beginning, right till the end. As you are progressing, you are just progressing in fana. But fana is not decreasing. You're starting it off, you're starting off in fana and you're ending up in fana. So this is a very gleaming and a very marked quality in the Chishtiya, that they emphasize greatly and largely on fana. I want to illustrate some examples so this concept becomes clearer. One Nawab Sahib had come to take bayat at the hands of Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi. Well, I had promised him that inshallah I will accept you and I will be free on a certain day. So he came, Nawab will come Nawab style obviously. He won't come dressed ordinarily, he won't come in an ordinary fashion, he will come in a Nawab style. So he came along with his khadim and with a big platter, not platter in fact, a big trays of mitais and the works, that now I'm going to be inaugurated in the bayat. So after that it's going to be a ceremony and then I'll distribute all his mitais. See, it's a big thing now. So he's doing something, but he's doing it in Nawab style. Mawla had given him his word, he promised him, but Mawla could see now if he's going to carry on in this way, if he's going to be started off and initiated in this way, then he's being initiated with the wrong theme, with the wrong spirit. If he's going to be initiated in the wrong spirit, then for him to be able to grasp this concept of fana will become difficult. Rather, we start him off right from the very beginning. Right from the very beginning, he must get colored in the color of fana'iyat. Maulana had a program at one home, at one residence, so he was there at the program and attended the program. In the meanwhile, the mitai was left by the khadim. Maulana ended the program and Maulana could see now what has happened. He has come here, he's come in Nawab style, and he's come with the khadim with all the mitai and the works. So Maulana suggests to this Nawab, do you know what? I just thought of it now, I had to go to that another street. I've got an appointment there as well. Now the situation is this, that Nawab's khadim had left the mitai trays and he's gone. So now if he has to come to, if he needs to continue with this, he'll have to continue with all the trays himself. And deliberately Maulana took him through the streets, those streets that people recognize this Nawab. Nawab now, popular, very famous person, like how you have, you know, this Indunas and all that, quite popular people, Chaudhrys, Nawabs. So there was quite a bit of publicity of them, quite popular people, wealthy, popular, influential. And the Khadim is gone and now he is taking those trays. He supported it for some time in his hand, but how long? Then he's carrying it on his head and is taking him through all those streets, one street. As he comes to the second street, the small program has ended, and after the program has ended, Maulana says, hey, yeah, I just remembered I need to go to the third street as well. Someone has invited us there as well. And when we finished up with all the programs, then inshallah, we will initiate you. Anyway, the third residence they had to go to, and after the third residence, when he had completed that entire street, all those streets, people knew him, people held him in respect and in position. When he had paraded all those streets, now Maulana initiated him. So this Nawab used to say afterwards, that I know what Maulana was doing, but what I achieved in that 1 hour, I would have not achieved in 50 years. If I tried on my own, I would not have achieved this, what I have achieved in 50 years. So these people know what they are doing. It's not that they are bringing and entrenching you in the concept of humility and modesty for no reason. No. They bring you down. They know that the more they bring you down, the more you will flourish. The more they push you down, the more you will flourish. At no time should you lose sight of that. What happens to us is, one, two dreams we have, and one, two fanciful experiences we'll have, and we'll feel, now I'm finished. Now, that works are coming now. Now, just now I'll become Qutb, I'll become Abdal, and I'll reach the position of Ghaus and all that. Everything will come just now. Everything will start flowing. But the thing is this, that this fana'iyat has not been perfected as yet. Fana'iyat is like the foundation. It's the foundation as well as it is the edifice. Both. And to the extent that foundation is settled, you will find everything progressing, everything coming up. Everything growing and everything flourishing in you, but that fana'iyat has to be grown. It has to grow. This is the very, very theme of this Chishti silsila. You know, other silsilas also speak about the aspect of fana'iyat, but this is an outstanding thing in the Chishtiya silsila, that they speak about it to a tremendous degree, very, very high degree. Just go and annihilate, and just go and annihilate yourself. You are nothing. My existence, myself, I'm nothing. Who is this? Who are you? That's why they say, "Jo meme karte hain, to usko to mazbah mein bhej dete hain." The one that says meme, then they send him to the abattoir. See, this me is nothing. Who are you? See, unfortunately, we have to take cognizance. We have to understand that we are living in a surrounding that is kufr, that is disbelief, that is takabbur, that is pride. interacting with such people, talking to such people, looking at such books. In whatever we are doing, we are covered with this type of ethos, this type of colors. You see, the color that we are seeing is the same. Someone asked Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, why are you so much against the English shoe? He says, yes, it starts off here, but then after that, then you want to have the English hairstyle, then you want to have the English shirt, then you want to have that type of vest, then you want to have that type of shirt and trouser and the works, and then you want to live accordingly. Everything you want to think, you want to analyze, you want to reason, you want to see everything, you want to view everything accordingly. So let's destroy from the very root. Not that it is impermissible or haram, but he is showing how this thing starts off. It creeps off very, very stealthily, very, very innocently. You don't even realize that it started off here. So these Buzurgana Deen, they would annihilate and they would eliminate, they would crush it right from the root. In Dioban, one student came from Dioban, came to Jalalabad. So Hazrat asked him, how did you come? He said, I came by bicycle. Now, in those days, that coming by cycle was a big thing, you know, like an outstanding thing. Someone came on a cycle. Now, this thing, the head of this pride has to be smashed. Because now, he is looking something conspicuous, something outstanding. The rest of the students are coming by bus, halfway they are walking, halfway they are coming by bus. They are coming in an ordinary fashion. I remember when I had lived in Jalalabad for a few days with my family and I was returning. No, if I had been alone, I would have come by bus. I'm thinking of the South African woman, I'm newly married and all that, and take her by bus, then what will be the... My mind is working in that fashion, is working in that style, that I need to take her in a private taxi because of where she's coming from. See? So Hazrat Ramtulai asked me, kya kuch umeed hai? Is she in the family way? I said, no, it's not the family way. So well, phir bas mein chale jao. Alhamdulillah, with the fazl of Allah Ta'ala, in my heart I didn't feel anything. But I just felt, let's hope she feels also comfortable. Because you know, at the beginning, you make too much of fikr. At the beginning, you make too much of fikr until everything sets in very well. That anything mustn't go incorrectly. You knew in this game here, you don't know about it. You're initiating in this thing here. So you don't want to have any problems at the beginning. Not at the end also, but more so in the beginning. By the fazl of Allah Ta'ala, we just came to the station unusual. The bus was there, totally empty. I think just one, two passengers, we moved in. And then we had to take a connecting bus from Nanota. And they also the same. Caught a bus very easily, simply, and hardly any passengers were here already in the open. See? So this lesson of fana, I am nothing. You see, when you are reciting that, La ilaha illallah. We are not just reading it like that for no reason. You're striking the head, etc. Why are you doing that posture? You're doing the postures to remove that I am something. I am. Recognize me, understand who I am. That needs to be removed from the equation completely for you to progress. It's an obstruction. It's an impediment. It is something that is coming on the way, and the thing has to be smashed. It has to be taken out. Otherwise, there's no growth. There's no progress. Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi Rahmatullah Alayh, in his day he was a very, very powerful orator. Very powerful orator. Arab countries used to call him, used to be in demand. His oration, his writing in Arabic, his understanding of Arabic literature, poetry, etc. was excellent, marvelous in that zamana. Can you imagine in that zamana, there were such great ulama-i kiram, and amongst them, for him to be recognized, what a powerful alim he could have been, or he would have been. One person was going to meet Hazrat Maulana Thani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, and Maulana was going to Lucknow. Maulana was in Lucknow, and his family had to go for an eye operation. So Maulana had to go and see and look after his family. So this murid had heard that Maulana is in Lucknow, let me go and pay him my respects. On the way he meets a Majzoob. The Majzoob asks him, type of a wali, asks him that, "What? Where are you going off to?" He said, "No, I'm going to meet my Shaykh." "Who's your Shaykh?" "Al-Mawad Thanwi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi." "So why is he there?" He said, "No, he's gone there because of his wife's eye operation." He said, "No, he's not there for the eye operation. Wahan par gaye huwe hai ek shahzada ko shikar karne ke liye. He's gone up there to hunt down one prince. He's gone up there to hunt down one prince." So anyway, it happens so, Sayyid Sulaiman Rahmatullah Alayhi, great person, not a small person, very great alim, Dr. Salman's father, this is. He is there, and then now his friends are talking, "Oh, this person has come here now, is there a need to go there?" And so it created some type of curiosity, he came to the majlis. That one majlis, and his heart just began to open out. And then the second majlis, his heart opened out even more. And now by the third majlis, he said, "No, no, now I must be with Maulana." He came over to Thana Bhavan, and he stayed over there for a few days. On his departure, Maulana had to see him at the station. So he asked for some departing advice, some parting advice. So Maulana told him, "Gee, that you are such a great Allama, you are well known internationally for your oration, for your writing, etc. So such a great alim, expert in the Arabic language, etc. And you asking me for advice." So Maulana said, "Yes, definitely I am asking you, I am requesting you for advice." So Maulana lowered his head for some time and then he says, "Humne Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi ke yahan bas ek hi sabak sikha, that we had lived with Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi for such a long duration, but we have learned just one lesson. And the lesson was, jahan tak ho sake apne aap ko fana kar lo. As far as you can, as much as you can, just annihilate yourself. I am nothing. I am nothing. Just go on doing that. I am nothing." See, all these jagras and all these problems that we have, they stem from this point here, that I am something. Why didn't he show me that respect? Why didn't they recognize me? Why didn't they show me that type of honor and that type of reception? Why wasn't I shown that? I'm nothing, I don't mean anything to them. So what's the good of being here? So the whole mind has to take a shift from people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are nothing. If they show the reception, they show the respect, they show the appreciation, or they don't show it, both is identical to me. Whether they show it or whether they don't show it, they ignore me, both are exactly the same. Ni'mal rajul al faqir. The hadith says that the great person, an excellent person, is the faqir, the one that has got true understanding of deen. Faqir doesn't only refer to the one who knows masla masail, rather it refers to that person who's got the true, correct understanding of deen. So ni'mal rajul al faqir. He says that he's an excellent person. If people need his services, he's there to offer his service. And people don't know him, he's not concerned about it. He's got enough on his head. He's got enough to turn to. He's got Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants to turn to him. Just because the people are coming to him, so he is just looking at them. He's fitting them on. He's fitting them on because they are coming in. Otherwise, he doesn't need people. He doesn't need them. We feel, no, people need to recognize us, respect us, they mustn't ignore us, they must take cognizance of our presence, they must respect us and all that. Gee? So the hadith says, totally contrary, the ni'mal rajulu al faqih. The best person, the excellent person is that faqih. If people need him, then he is there to offer his service. If they don't need him, he doesn't need them as well. Not that one is to show attitude, that is wrong. That is wrong when you show attitude, Allah doesn't like that. But not to have those people within your heart, that, no, this person must come, I must meet this person here, and they must talk to me, they must respect me, and they must invite me here, and I must invite these people. If they come, one of those things. If they don't come also, he is not really concerned that they do come. He's not making an all-out exerted effort that people come for his morale to be high. He doesn't need people to be around. So, ni'ma rajulu al-faqih. You see how their vision was. Their vision was totally different from our vision. Their outlook was totally different to our outlook. One of the great kings, I think it was Sultan Shamsuddin al-Zamash. On the one end, he was a great king of his time, and then on the other end, parallel to that, he was a wali of the time as well. On the one end, he is a king, and then parallel to that, he is also a wali, a king and a wali. Very seldom you find that. There's two famous incidents of his. One incident is this, that his sheikh had passed away, right? And his sheikh had left a legacy, a will. So the bequest had to be read before the janaza namaz, right? The bequest was read that such a person must perform the janaza namaz who has got these two things in him. Number one, he has never opened his trouser for anything, any haram. Number one. Number two is this, that he never missed out the four sunnats before Asr Salah. So there are a lot of ulama and Buzugaradin. They say, as far as the first thing, alhamdulillah, Allah Pak has given us that gift as well, that we haven't opened our trouser for any haram. But as far as the second one is concerned, we may have read, and there may be occasions where we missed out the sunnats before Asr. Now there is total silence, people are looking around, who is the one that's going to fulfill and accomplish this bequest? When Sultan Shamsuddin Al-Tamash, the king, stands up and he says, this was really a secret between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I had concealed this up to this day, but the Shaykh had exposed me. Anyway, I am the person, I've been gifted, but you see that fana'iyat. What they have got, they're not making an advertisement. It's between them and Allah ta'ala. All they cry is, all their desire and aspiration is, Allah ta'ala qabool farma. Allah ta'ala, you've accepted, then it's everything. And you reject it, then it's nothing. It is like that girl that is being dolled up at the time of her nikah. You know, someone is putting the shampoo and powder and the hair and the dress and what have you. Shoes, everything is right. Polish and everything is right. Everything is perfect. And the one that is dolling her up, she says, "Bi, tu to bari khubsurat lagti hai. Bi, you looking very excellent, man. Something eye-catching. Eh? Very, very excellent you are looking." A tear rolls down her cheeks and she says, had only these words come out from the mouth of my husband, from the tongue of my husband, if this came out, then I've got everything. But if you people give me that type of compliments, really, it really doesn't mean much. You may say this, second person may say, but the husband, he must say this, then I've won everything. All that effort, all the preparation, all the mihnat that has gone in this direction, everything is fruitful. Otherwise, what is it? If I go see the husband, and the husband says, you aren't too thrilling, you know, you aren't too great, you're not so eye-catching. All this thing, I'm married to you now, I just have to flow with the tide, I just have to go with you. You understand? It's a different thing. So, no matter what compliments people give, what type of compliments and what type of gratitude and appreciation they show, what our sight must be focused on is, in the presence of Allah Ta'ala, have we got acceptance? Yeah, people may say whatever they need to say. They may say whatever they need to say. Sometimes they are saying it sincerely. Sometimes it may be that they are just putting us up. There may be several reasons for people giving us that type of compliments and that type of praises. But do we get influenced and do we get impressed with those feelings, with those compliments and those type of flowery languages that people use for us? Do we get carried away? No. A mu'min is not supposed to be getting carried away with any word. Al-Mawla Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, when some time had passed and Al-Mawla Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi had not written up a letter to Al-Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, so Al-Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi had inquired from him that, "I haven't heard from you for a long period. I haven't heard from you for a long period." Hazrat Rahmatullah used to relate this incident, and he says, there were these type of mashayikh and these type of awliya kiram, that if their murideen had not written up to them, then they would write up and inquire. Now, we cannot compare this to today's standards. We cannot compare it to today's times. Why? I gave two reasons. One is because those murideen were to such a high level, they reached also such a high level, that the Shaykh also recognized their position. Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, Mohammad Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi to send a present, Ali Sahib Rahmatullahi would say that ye to Mohammad Gangohi ka tabarruk hai, this is a barkat of Mohammad Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi. Imagine the Shaykh is saying about the murid that this is barkat, and he would take it, apply it to his eyes, apply it on his head, like how you receive something of barkat, what you would have done, he would do this with the thing that has been sent by his murid. So anyway, Mawlana writes up, Ali Sahib Rahmatullah writes up to his murid that I haven't heard of you for a long time. Tumhara kya hal hai? Kuch sunao. So he says that I am nothing, absolutely nothing. But now it's your instruction, I can't do without responding. You are my sheikh, you are my elder, you are everything for me. You understand? That murid's nazar is on his sheikh. That kamal that he sees, the good that he sees, the progress that he sees, he mustn't lose sight. The more he recognized the good of that link, you know, the link that linked him up, the more he recognized it, the more the progress he will see. And the moment he begins to lose sight of the link, you'll see everything is falling away. In Tarabon, there was one Buzurg, Sheikh Muhammad Sahib Rahmatullah, he was an alim. Amongst his three Buzurgs, Hafiz Zamin Sahib, Hafiz Hari Sahib Rahmatullah, the third person was Sheikh Muhammad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. And the Sheikh Muhammad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi was an alim. So any masla or anything that happened, they would ask him for some type of clarification, because he was the only formal alim amongst them. But anyway, he had one murid, and that murid had reached a very high position. Now in that high position of his, he came to see his Sheikh, and he thought to himself that I've reached such a high position that I've even surpassed my Sheikh, I've gone so high. Anyway, it was at night around Maghrib Isha time, and his Sheikh Shah Muhammad Sahib, Sheikh Muhammad Sahib Rahmatullahi, used to be writing some kitabs around that time after Maghrib, between Maghrib and Isha. So there was a breeze, and his Sheikh told him, just remove the brick from its place. He removed the brick from the place, and now the murid sees that there is total darkness in his heart. Where I thought that I had surpassed my Sheikh and I'm gone so far, now I see this total hollow, and my heart is gone totally dark. What has happened? So the Sheikh now then warns him, cautions him. He says, listen, whatever light that has come to you, the light has come from this lamp. From this lamp it has come to you. Appreciate this lamp, otherwise there will be darkness. The light has come, but where has it come from? From this lamp here. Right? And if you don't appreciate this lamp, then there will be total darkness. So that light that comes, definitely Allah Ta'ala brings it through some medium or the other. But right till your dying day, you'll have to still appreciate the sun. We'll appreciate that fan. We'll appreciate the mediums that make life comfortable for you. Though you don't worship them, but you'll have to appreciate them. The man has become a multi-millionaire. He won't lose sight of his father. He won't lose sight of his parents. And the people that had initiated him, my parents and my uncle, my father, whoever, they were the ones that had brought me up in this way. They had led me on. And it is my blessing, it is my fortune that I remember them. I am mindful, I think about their initiation and their linking me up. So in the very same manner, to remember that these are the people that have linked you up. And this linking up should remain right to the end. It will come at the time that you are being initiated, at the time that you are being led on, that at that time definitely it will be greater. But as you're progressing, then in that progress also you cannot lose sight. Anishkur li, see the Quran says, Anishkur li wali walidayk, be grateful to me and the medium of your existence, that is your parents. Be grateful to them. So when the Quran is saying this, then that is for dawam, it is for istimrar. It must be a continuous thing. The person or the people that have linked you on, don't forget them. Generally it happens that ustad that taught you hifz, or the ustad that taught you the kitabs, and the one that taught you tajweed, etc., then you hold him in high esteem and respect. But the one that taught you alif ba, he is totally forgotten. He is mixed with the soil, he is totally forgotten. That is the one that has initiated you, he started you off, and you have forgotten him totally. That is not Islam. Islam requires us that you remember them as well. Though they are nothing, they don't seem to be anything that is significant, non-entities they would appear to be. But the fact that they had started you on, they had initiated you on, so should you forget them? Should you lose sight of them? You don't lose sight of them. How small and how insignificant they are, they have taught you that alif ba, they have brought you up, that initial seed of recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have planted it into your system, into your heart. Now that you have grown up, now you have forgotten about it. Yes, you need to forget about yourself, like you are the seed, right? You are the seed that is planted into the ground. The more you forget yourself, the more you will see the tree of yours flourishing. But the more you keep your existence, you will find nothing will sprout out of you. You can only sprout out, and you can only bear the fruit, and you can only be productive if you have finished yourself. The more you have finished yourself as a seed, the more you will see good flourishing out of you. And the good will not be flourishing just to one person, to hundreds of persons, one here or somewhere else, someone in this country, someone in that country. But everything will be sprouting out around you, provided you allow yourself to be mixed up with the soil complete. So this is that fana'iyyah that we are talking of, and in this silsila of ours, Buzugar Adi Pashay Tani Sahib Rahmatullahi says, کہ ہمارے ہاں بس کچھ ایسا ہی مسئلہ ہے کہ فنا اول قدم ہے, اول قدم میں فنا ہے. I heard this several times, Mother Ji Hamtai, though it is the tarteeb, it is the procedure in many other silsilas, that fana is the last qadam. Here fana is the first qadam. You are just being initiated and you think nothing of yourself. You are being initiated, you are being started off. And at that moment you feel nothing. I am nothing. My wealth is nothing. My position is nothing. My knowledge is nothing. And after all, is our knowledge something for us to be proud about? وَلَئِنْ شِئْنَا لَنَذْهَبَنَّ بِالَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ ثُمَّ لَا تَجِدُ بِعَلَيْنَا وَكِيلًا. If we are thinking that our knowledge is something to be proud about, something that we can hold our heads up for, then Allah Ta'ala is cautioning Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but really it's meant to be a lesson for us, that if it's our will, we will have taken away that very wahi that we are sending now. Your position and your recognition is on account of the wahi that we are sending upon you. That same wahi that has elevated you, that has exalted you, that has made you the rahmatul lil alameen, has made you the Sayyidul Anbiya, that was that wahi that has come down, that has exalted you in this position. But had it been our will, the same wahi could have been eliminated from your system. Imagine who is being warned. Who is being cautioned? It is Rasulullah ﷺ to show us, to impress upon us, that none of you are an exception to this rule. No matter what you reach, if the Rasul, the Sayyidul Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, he wa ala jami'il anbiya'i wa rusul alfa salawatin, if he is being cautioned, then where do we stand? And if it is our will, we could have eliminated this from your system entirely. No more wahi. But illa rahmatan min rabbik, this is coming to you. This whole procedure of wahi is constantly flowing to you just as a mercy from our side. In other words, you consider that as a mercy, as a favor from our side. It's a blessing, it's our grace. It's not on account of yourself, it's not on account of your lineage, it's not on account of your struggle and your striving. It is our mercy entirely. Illa rahmatan min rabbik. That's the only thing that is continuing this wahi upon you, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Can you imagine, where do we stand? Illa rahmatan min rabbik. We are like that haik, they say. Haik in India is the cotton weaver. Normally when they want to swear someone, then they say julaha. Julaha means a cotton weaver, right? So they swear them. Now in India, they have this type of a caste system where the type of profession that you take up, then they hold you in that type of esteem and respect. A butcherman is looked right down upon, kasai kahin ke, and a julaha, a cotton weaver, he is right in the doldrums, right down, bottom of the barrel, right? It's totally down. So that is Indian culture, right? And a hajam is a swear word, actually. Really. Now, sometimes I see, these beauticians and all that, they're doing the hair and all that, cutting the hair, pulling out all the hair. They're doing all this type of work. In India, they swear them. Really, in India, they swear them, the beauticians and all that, they swear them. and they are proud about themselves, going for to learn about this thing. Really, one person actually came here. You know, when this Rauf thing was carrying on here, so one Jamaat came from there. How everything says, you know, I had gone to London to become a Hajjam. His actual words, went to London to become a Hajjam. Such an important thing. Anyway, the Islamic concept or the Islamic perspective is, we don't look down upon any trade. Any trade it may be, but we don't look down upon it. Right? Behold all these things. As long as it's a halal way of making an earning, of generating income, we hold it in esteem, we hold it in respect. إِلَّا رَحْمَةً مِّن رَبِّكَ إِنَّ فَضْلَهُ كَانَ عَلَيْكَ كَبِيرًا. It is the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this is going on flowing upon you. Otherwise, don't consider this to be yours. In other words, what it's telling us, this is directed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but what is the message for us? That the more your sight will be focused that إِلَّا رَحْمَةً مِّن رَبِّكَ, the more you will be enhanced, you will progress in ilm. Your knowledge will increase, your understanding will increase, the inspiration that you receive from Allah Ta'ala will increase proportionately to your sight on the fact that this is the grace of Allah Ta'ala. And the moment you begin to feel that it's my achievement, it's my struggle, it's my strive, proportionately everything will go down in you. If you want things to flow, if you want things to progress, if you want things to continue with you, then increase your sight. Allah Ta'ala, yeah, there are persons. It is out of your grace. The Anbiya really didn't need to say this, but they made a point of saying it. They made a point of saying this. وَفَضَّلَنِي عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقَ تَفْضِيلًا. They say it again and again. إِلَّا رَحْمَةً مِّن رَبِّكِ وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ مِنَّا فَضْلًا. We're granted them grace. But they, in response, what did they say? Alhamdulillahi alladhi faddalana. Don't you see? In response, what do they say? It is the grace of Allah Ta'ala that has granted us huge virtue over others. They don't lose sight. So the more they progress, the more the sight is entrenched in this concept that it is from Allah Ta'ala. In this conviction, not just a concept, rather it's a conviction that it is the grace of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala allowed it to happen. Allah Ta'ala made it happen. So in proportion to the progress, this sight and this vision, this conviction must be entrenched, must be established in us. And proportionately you will find that your ilm is increasing, it's progressing, your wealth is increasing, everything is flowing for you. But the condition is this, that don't forget this. Mujhe bhool karke kaam na karo, don't forget me. Like I explained, that high cotton weaver, he went to become a murid, so they made him a murid. Couple of days he's making zikr, etc. Illallah, Allahu Allah. Now, got his eyes closed and making zikr and all that. And then he's waiting. Mata yanzilu al wahi. When is that wahi coming down? You know that Buzruganadin had that kashf and he saw that farishta, he saw this noor and that light. So, all these people's experience, when is coming to me? See. So, immediately, just 2-3 days of a little bit of zikr, some program that we are going through, and immediately want to see the results. What's happening to me? Bhai, ye koi khuda ka, ye khuda ki milk hai, ya tumhari milk hai, mera baba ki milk hai, is this kingdom and sovereign belonging to you or is it Allah Ta'ala's? Tumhari jagir hai, you have got a claim, you think it's your property? No, it's not yours. It's not your prerogative, it's not yours. If it's come as a favor. If it hasn't come, you don't make any claims to it. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'anhu, and Hazrat Abbas, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they could see that Rasulullah is coming towards his end. Abbas says to Hazrat Ali that when the Banu Hashim, when they come to the end, we can make it out from the symptoms. So I can see that after a few days, nahnu nakunu abdul asa, we will be under the stick just now. In other words, we will be subjects just now, right? So we better rather go to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and go and confirm this position, that who is going to be taking this position after him. But Ali radiallahu anhu replies, no, I am not going to go. Because if anybody feels himself to be eligible and he goes, considering himself to be eligible, then never will he be blessed in future with this position. You don't consider yourself to be eligible to any position. لَا نَسْتَعْمِلُ عَلَىٰ عَمَلِنَا هَذَا مَنْ يَطْلُبُهُ. Anybody asks for that position, we never give him a position. You ask for that position, you ask for a maqam, then you will be deprived lifelong. Don't ask, don't ever ask. You see this, all this is taking you to one direction. فَنَا أَبْنَا عَدْكُ خَتَمْ كَرْدُ. Don't consider yourself to be worthy of anything, insignificant, non-entity. The more you think like that, the more you consider yourself, then you'll find progress. You're just making the progress. Now this was the very theme, the very essence of the teaching of Abu Zubayr al-Din, and in fact the theme of the teaching of the Chishtiya Silsila. One person came to Hadi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, and he says to Hadi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, you know, he's given a report of what he's doing. A murid is required to give a report from time to time, what's going on, the teaching that is given him, then how much have you progressed, what are you doing, are you doing it, aren't you doing it. And don't depend upon the kash of the buzurg, that the buzurg will understand it from the kash. The kash may happen at times, but it's not a constant thing. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't happen. Now you depend upon the kash of the buzurg and you don't relate your halat, that's wrong. You must go on relating. Otherwise, could there be someone greater sahib a kash than Rasulullah Pak's person? Whereas there was an ustwana wufud in the Masjid of Nabi Sarsam, and there was a silsila where the sahaba kiram are coming back, returning from a campaign, and they're explaining and they're relating the entire going and coming out, how they went, where they went, what did they do, and what were their achievements in that entire safar. What were the achievements? They're coming to relate. Why did they report? They reported because it's a sunnah and it's a requirement. They don't depend on kash. If they need to be corrected, they can be rectified. Now you, depending on kash, that Rasulullah will come to know somehow or the other, and we don't relate it to Rasulullah, that's the wrong thing. They saw the need also to relate, to report, occasionally, once in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 month, whatever it is. So, the Shaykh also feels that this person has got a hazard to progress, he wants to know, and I need to rectify him, and therefore he's asking so much. He's stumbling and he's asking, he's stumbling and he's asking. So I need to also focus towards him. But then the person doesn't relate his halat, and the Shaykh says, well, this person is complacent, then I don't need to take him, push him right through. He will remind him, he will caution him at times. But when he sees that this person is not relating, not responding, then he also will become averse to him. Like marriage is a two-way thing. It's not like a ball, you know, a plastic or something, and you see one-way traffic. No. It's a two-way thing, then it works out. Then you see some production. But it's a one-way traffic, no production. If it's a one-way thing, there's no production. Production is after, there is a two-way. So what we are explaining is this aspect of fana, and how important it is that we understand what is this fana, what it is all about. Hazrat Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib, we are speaking about Hazrat Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. And this person comes to Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, and he says to Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, that you know what, in this period, in this duration, I did so much of zikr, so much of tilawat, all my qazas are over, all my rozas that were outstanding all are over, and whatever hukukul ibad was outstanding, I complete all that hukukul ibad. See? So then he goes on to say, Hadi Sahib, ye sab aapki barkat hai. This is all your barkat. In account of your barkat, I have achieved all this. Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah's reply to this is, ke ye sab kamalat aap hi ke andar rakhi hui thi. All this goodness was within yourself. What? All this goodness, this good that you are seeing, was within yourself. Baki, I just helped you, I showed you how to explore that goodness, that gold and that ruby and the diamond was all within yourself. I just helped you to show you that you got these things, and just remove the dust from the surface and you will find the same ruby, you will find the gold. Annasu ma'adin ka ma'adin is dhahabi wal fidda. So really I just showed you how to remove the dust, but really the goodness was within you. But now look at the kamal of Hazrat Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah. He doesn't lose sight of things. This is the kamal of Abu Zubayr al-Din. They lead you on, then they don't want you to stumble. Now if Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah just left him at that point, he would have felt to himself that I don't really need Hadisab because I've got a gold mine. I've already got the gold mine, I've already struck it. Really, and I had it myself. Hadisab already acknowledges it. So when he acknowledges it, then he's a buzurg, so he acknowledges that I've got something. So really, I didn't need Hadisab, but Hadisab just directed me, you see. If he had he just left him at that point, what would have happened? He would have destroyed himself. He would have finished himself. So Hadisab Rahman tells him, yes, this all is within you. Baki aapko to isi tarah se samajhna chahiye ke jo kuch mila mujhse mila. But your fortune is in thinking whatever you have got it through me. But really it's not me. But your fortune is in thinking that whatever you have got, you have gained because of me. Like that child, he used to think that I've become a doctor, I've become a specialist, I've specialized on account of my father's motivation. And on account of their direction, on account of their inspiration, I have become what I have become today. But really it was the child's hard work that took him there. Really. But the child must think that it is because of my parents and my teachers, my tutors that I am here wherever I am today. Otherwise it becomes, when you look at things from one perspective, you lose the other perspective, you lose the other angle of the whole equation. It becomes like a situation, one person was reprimanding his son. His son had graduated as a doctor, those old days, you know, in India. So his son had become a doctor. So the son tells the father, really, it's no favor of yours that I've become whatever I am. You know, I've qualified, I've specialized, no favor of yours. It was my mehnat. But you, if you speak about your favor, you know what is your favor? You was just enjoying yourself with my mother and I'm the result. See how raw, how uncultured, how uncouth you can become. If you don't look at it holistically, then this is how you look at it. Now you can't see that person is speaking a lie. Right? But now see how uncouth, how rude, and how uncultured the person is. One person from Dioban, some similar thing happened to him, see. Father was coming from the villages, wealthy person from the villages. So village style, you just wear a cloak over you, wear a lungi and a cloak over you. We're talking of the old days. So he's coming from the villages to receive his son that has graduated. Now as he's graduated, so they are that type of people that are there to receive him. Some lawyer and some specialist and some engineer, some architect. So all people with all type of degrees, they are there to receive him. Now, the old man is there also to receive my son. I need to receive my child. But now he sees his father, he sees all the company around him. So now how to break the ice between him and his father? So he taps him on the back. Well, Buddha, how do you do? Old man, what? How do you do? So they asked him, who is this old man? Those friends are asking him, you're so close to him, but who is old man? He says, no, ye to mere parosi hai. He is my neighbor. So the old man, you think that old man was stupid. He's living in the villages, he's stupid. No, he isn't as stupid as he seems. He says, yeah, no, it's true that I am his neighbor. Yes, I am his mother's neighbor. So he put him straight, right on the spot he put him right. No, he didn't have to go for tarbiyah that he slide. On the spot he got him right. So really, when we don't think correctly, We don't have anybody to tutor us, to take us along, then we consider all the kamal to be our personal achievement. We consider it to be our personal thing. See? And this is the point where we begin to lose out, begin to fall. What we got in perspective, this come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the means. And like I need to respect Allah ta'ala, I need to respect the means, as Allah ta'ala instructs, anishkur li wali walidik. There must have been some reason why Allah ta'ala said this. Why did Allah have to say this? Anishkurli wali walidik. The Quran has got it. Why has it got it? See? So we are speaking of Hazrat Maulana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, and Hazrat Hari Sahib Rahmatullah had written up to him that I haven't heard from you from some time. And I explained that the mashayikh in the previous days, now and then they would write up to their muridin to find out their halat and their kayfiyat. There are two reasons why they have so much of respect for them and regards for them. One is because of their position. And number two was this, that in that zamana, Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah is explaining this incident, and he says there were two reasons. One is this reason that I guess explained, and the second reason is, in that zamana, there wasn't the type of badgumani that prevails today. Now, for every small thing nowadays, there is suspicion. Ah, acha, ye unse poochte koi matlab hoga. He refers to him, his muridin, he phones him up, etc. He writes up to him, why there is some matlab. So therefore he phones up, therefore he asks and he writes letters, you know. Why is he showing some additional attention to him? You understand? So the Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah had written up to Mawla Gangwai Sahib Rahmatullah that he's murid, that what's your halat, explain me your halat. So he says that since I've left you, so many years have passed, and really I don't have anything in me. But now that it's your instruction to tell, to give a report, and to give me a report of myself, a true account of myself, becomes like an obligation. Because you are my head. I have been instituted, I have been initiated in this cause through your respected self. And it's your command, so I have to respect your command. Otherwise, I'm nothing. I'm really not worth anything. And at the end of the letter, he says, Allah Ta'ala, do forgive me. This is, I'm just complying with the instruction of my head, but really I am nothing. So Allah, do forgive me for whatever I have stated here. Do you see the level of fana'iyat? Do you see that he's lost sight of himself entirely, that he's nothing? It is just the reflection of Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah that he says, it is just your barakat, the reflection that he's showing in me. Otherwise, I am nothing. The sun is reflected onto a mirror. Can the mirror be proud of itself? Can it be? It will be a fool to be proud about itself, to see the radiance in me, see the brilliance in me, see the beauty in me. It's not its own. If the earth has a brilliance, is on account of the brilliance of the sun. Now the earth begins to become proud of itself, see my brilliance, see my beauty. No, by either sun deprives you of its radiance and its brilliance, you're gone, you're nothing. It is on account of the sun that you are brilliant, on account of the sun that you are so beautiful and you are so attractive. It's gone, you're gone, finish. So similarly, in the physical world, you count the beauty, you attribute the beauty to the brilliance of the sun. In the spiritual sun, in the spiritual arena, in the spiritual realm, right, you will consider the brilliance coming from this source, from your mashayikh, from them, it's coming from them. So you will have to attribute it to them. And the more you will show appreciation, the more you will show that it's coming from them, the more you will find yourself progressing. And the moment you lose sight of that, everything is falling down, everything is collapsing. As high as you are now, you're just collapsing. One person came to make etikaf there in Saharanpur, as a sheikh from this time. Alhamdulillah says, Baze log tarakki karte hai, ki aise tarakki karte hai, ke akal hairan ho jata hai. They make such progress, they make such strides that you become, you know, you become astounded that the person has made such progress. This person used to be sitting in the masjid at the time of i'tikaf. He used to be in muraqabah, and he used to see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam coming in the i'tikaf, and is looking how the arrangements have been made in i'tikaf. Right. But then the self had the better over him. Allah says that phir wo girte ise girte ke unke liye uthna mushkil ho jata hai. Then they collapse and they fall. And they fall so hard that for them to get up after that becomes difficult. So all this becomes, generally, it comes out when that fana'iyat, the sight has shifted away from your elders to yourself. Now what they are, what are they? I have made this progress. I have made these strides. It was my effort. It was my achievement. I have done it. When you begin to think like that, then everything begins to crumble within you. Everything is beginning to lose. Everything is beginning to get lost. So Mawla Gangwai Sahib Rahmatullah replies to this letter of his Shaykh Hazrat Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, that since I have come from you, then the one thing that I notice in myself is this, that munkarat se nafrat tab'i ho gayi. All type of disobedience, anything that would amount to guna, anything that would amount to wrong and transgression, has become like natural to me. Aur aisi tab'i nafrat ho gayi, jis tarah se peshab aur pakhana se tab'i nafrat ho jati ho. And I have created such a dislike and aversion to wrong, like how it is natural for a person to be averse to number one and number two. How are you averse to excreta, urine, etc.? You don't want to see it, you don't want to hear about it, you're talking about it, nobody, at time of meals, you don't want to even listen to it. You feel so averse, you feel so turned away. So sins, transgression, wrong have become so averse in my system that I feel the type of disgust and the type of, the type of disgust and evil in my heart just with the mention of wrong. Just with the mention of wrong, I feel so disgusted. I feel so hurt within myself. So the Ayyus Abraham says, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, kamal ta'at ki alamat hai. This is a kamal in ta'at. This is a kamal Allah Ta'ala has blessed you. This is the perfection of obedience. That you have feel, you feel so averse towards it. Number two, he says, Madih wazam. This is what I wanted to show you. Madih wazam bande ke nazar mein barabar hai. The one that compliments me and the one that disgraces me, I consider them equal in my sight. Right? The one that praises me, I don't think much of him. And the one that disgraces me, I don't think much of him as well. Both seem to be identical in my sight, whether the person compliments me and praises me for the work that I am doing, or he runs me down and he disgraces me for whatever I am doing, then both of them are really the same in my sight. Hadith Gangwai Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi had lost his sight towards the end of his life. And look at his tawazu and fanayat. So someone asked him, he lost his sight and he lost his teeth as well. So someone told him, I said, you know, you lost your sight and you lost your teeth. So at least make your teeth, the dentist is here, he can sort your teeth out, and you can go for a cataract operation or something, and he will sort your sight as well. So his answer was, ab dant nahi hai, to naram roti aur naram boti mil rahi hai. Naram roti aur naram, garam roti aur naram boti mil rahi hai. Okay, now I have got no teeth, so I'm getting hot bread, soft hot bread, and soft meat I'm getting. Phir daag ban jayega, when my teeth are made, then I won't get these type of things. He turned the person around actually. He is not showing him his kamal of righteousness and virtue through this type of a cheerful front. He said, this is a front to turn the person away from his piety. He don't want to show the piety. In other words, the piety is this, that Allah Ta'ala has sent this down to me, he's taken my teeth away, he's given it to me, it's a blessing. He's taken it away, it's a blessing. Now why must I go and complain and make a noise about that thing? Why must I make a noise about it? And then he asked him, you know, your eyes also are gone now, and you just go for that cataract operation, we'll sort the sight out. So now see his answer. His answer is, you see, now my sight is gone, so I don't get involved in any badnazri. I'm safe from any badnazri. I don't see anything wrong. So why must I get myself involved again? Now, that's just a front. It's just a front. So what he says, bande ki nazaron mein madih wazam dono barabar hai. In the sight of the servant, the one that disgraces and the one that praises, both are identical. So Hazrat had lost his sight and Hazrat used to get his letters dictated. He used to dictate the letters. Mawla Yahya Sahib Rahmatullah, Shaykh's father, used to be writing for him. So he received some correspondence from some contemporary of that time that you should write against him. He's famous, people all know about him. Right? You should write notorious things, very, very notorious, very filthy languages, kufr and kafir. Whoever doubts in the kufr of him, he becomes a kafir as well. His nikah is haram. As though, you know, Rasulullah Pak Sarsam came with a mission of spreading Islam, and thousands of people, he left converting them into Islam, bringing them into Jannah, right? And this man has got a mission to send people to Jahannam. Like Nabi Sam had a mission to usher people, admit people into Jannah, bring them into Islam. Now this man has got a mission to turn them away from Jannah and put them into Jahannam. Okay? He's got Jahannami, Kafir, this, that, whatever. So Mawlana Gangwai Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi asked Mawlana Yahya, that he's his khadim, that several days have passed and we haven't received any correspondence from that person. Not mentioning his name. We haven't received any correspondence from that person. Why is it? What happened? We haven't received anything from him. So Mawlana Yahya Sahib kept quiet for that moment. Just tried to turn it away. Mawlana asked again, Mawlana Yahya, un sahab ka khat abhi aya nahi. That person's letter hasn't come yet. So now Mawlana Yahya had to give an answer. He said, unke khat mein galiyon ke alawa kya rakha hua hai? What's there in his letter besides swear words, abuse and insult? What's there? Now look at Mawlana Gangwar Rahman's answer. He says, he gave two answers. He gave one answer. He says, "Arre, dur ki galiya kuch lagti hai." The one is that he's insulting you, abusing you from a distance. Does it affect you? Forget it. From a distance, he's telling whatever he needs to tell. Baki hum unke khutoot ko is wajah se sunte hain. We listen to his letters. Why? Because agar unke isalon mein, unke khutoot mein koi haq ki baat ho, to hum isko kabool kar lenge. We look into his letters, not for the insult and abuse, no, not for that. Like how some of us look at some magazines, Islamic magazines, and for the entertainment. Now, that's wrong. That. Let's see who's coming under the criticism attack. Who's getting attacked now? Who's getting the blows now? See? Now that becomes an entertainment. تَتَّخِذُوا دِينَكُمْ هُزُوًا وَلَعِبًا. It's deen. Deen mustn't be taken as an entertainment. See? Mustn't be taken as a pastime. So Mawlana says that I read his letters. Why I read his letters? I listen to his letters now that my sight is gone, to see if I am wrong in any respect. If I am wrong in any respect, I can correct myself, I can rectify myself. And baki mere upar kuch wahi utarta hai, does wahi come down to me ki main jo kuch kahu wahi sahi hai? Maybe whatever he says is right. So I need to inspect his statements very, very carefully. Perhaps the right is with him, the truth may be with him. I need to see his statements. Do you see how they keep themselves, in what caution they keep themselves? They don't at any time feel complacent and immune of themselves. No, that we are immunized now. Nothing can go past us. No wrong and falsehood can come across us. No. They still, right till the last, they feel that we still are human beings. And we are still earthly creatures. And we are exposed to all the dangers that human beings are exposed to. So we need to see ourselves. Maybe the word of right that is coming from this end, that we need to go and check and verify whether we are saying the right or not. You see the truth. Can you see this level of justice? And did you ever hear of this level of justice? That your enemy, who is passing statements of disbelief and kufr, still you want to examine his statement. Perhaps there may be a word of haq in his statements. And I need to receive it. I need to embrace it. Mawlana Abdul Rahim Sahib Raipuri. One is Mawlana Abdul Qadir Sahib Raipuri Rahmatullahi, and then his sheikh is Mawlana Abdul Rahim Sahib Raipuri Rahmatullahi. Normally they refer to him as Bare Hazrat. Mawlana Abdul Rahim Sahib Bare Hazrat Raipuri Rahmatullahi. Like in Nizamuddin, when they want to speak of Hazrat Ji Mawlana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi, they say Bare Hazrat Ji ne farmaya. And if it is the others, Mawlana Yusuf or Mawlana Nabul Hasan Sahib, they will say Hazrat Ji ne farmaya. So this is now how they identify. They recognize him and they recognize the others. So his first sheikh was also a Mawlana Abdul Rahim, Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib. Ghair Alim, he wasn't an Alim, and his sheikh had passed away. His sheikh was also a great sahib, a karamat. A lot of karamat he had in him, and he had passed away. So he had thought to himself that after my sheikh has gone and I have not yet completed this suluk, see, once you have completed it, then you don't have to be told that you have completed it. See. Like a person has become matured, then he doesn't need to be told that you are matured now. Are you matured? You don't ask the person, are you matured? You will know automatically that you are matured. Like it is the fadl of Allah Ta'ala that you come to that level. You don't have to be told. You know it already. So, some of these mashayikh, then even after the maturity, they still want to progress, they still want to go forward. One is Sayyid Fillah, one is Sayyid Ilallah, right? And Sayyid Ilallah, there is no end to what you can achieve. Like when you One is, you know, you do the formal studies in school, you complete, you matriculate, right? And after that, is there any limit of your studies? Oh, you can become a doctor, then a genius, then a scientist, then a professor, and carries on and on, there's no end to it. Specialize in one field, and you specialize in another field, and so forth and so on, you continue. So similarly, Sayyid Ilallah, Sayyid Fillah, there is a limit, and that ends up at a certain point. But then Sayyid Ilallah, that goes on and on. Be nihayat dargahest. What? They say, be nihayat dargahest. This threshold of Allah Ta'ala, there is no limit to it. The more you progress, the more you will find, there's more room to progress. That is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right till the last namaz, he had to say, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, guide us to the right way. In other words, he's already right. Now he wants to go even further. Even further. There is no limit. And there can't be a limit, because Allah Ta'ala is eternal, infinite. Therefore, the progress that you will make also is limitless. You can continue. From now till Qiyamah, you can continue. There will be still room for progress. So some of these Buzurgar ad-Din Mashayikh, in spite of them completing this, they still want to continue. They still want to continue. There is that fire, because the fire that is in them is raging, you see. It wants some type of fulfillment, you know. That fuel in them is there. That energy in them is there. And that energy needs some type of exposure. Right? You got that energy within you, it needs an exposure. You got the fuel that's bubbling in you, it needs that type of exposure, it needs that type of environment. So he felt that within him, and he thought to himself, who is the most appropriate person for me? Made dua, etc. Eventually he was guided by Maulana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Maulana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah had accepted him, and on one occasion Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah had called for him. So he went immediately, because Maulana asked him to come quickly, and the river that was coming between him and Gango, that river was flooded already. So he told his Khadim, see, what I will do now, you must just keep it as a secret, don't ever divulge it to anybody. All right, it's my Shaykh's hukam that I must come immediately. So he placed his musalla over that water, and he asked the Khadim to sit on, and they flowed right through. Came to Gango, on the first sight where they meet Maulana Gango Rahmatullah Alayh, Maulana says, in jadugaro ko kaho ki yahan par unke liye koi jagah nahi hai. Say this sorcerers, there is no place for them here. Yahan par aana ho to hubbe jah ke sar ko kalam karke aao. If you want to come here, then this love for position, recognition and high, etc., just chop off his head and come here. You see that this is the first step. So in the first step that you are initiated, that break all that within you, that I am nothing. If there is any achievement, any greatness, I am a shaykh. It is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, basically, primarily, and then these people, it is because of their barakah that I have achieved it. Otherwise, I am nothing. Allah ta'ala, tawfiq nasib.